oh, we get questions a lot about Jesus, and a lot of, and the world has a lot of different views of who Jesus is, and probably the most, one of the most important questions, besides who is Jesus, because that's probably of prime importance, but why does he matter? Or does he matter? Because a lot of people like to, they think that he doesn't really matter. I've heard people do their best to explain away Jesus, to say why he's not important, why he doesn't matter, why we should ignore the Bible, and count it as a book that really isn't important. I've seen people, it's weird, but I've seen people put as much dedication as I put into preaching the Bible. I've seen people put as much dedication into preaching atheism, which is weird to me, because if it's not that important, if it really doesn't matter, why put so much time and effort and dedication into explaining it away? Why is that? Why are some people so dead set to preach an anti-gospel, to be an anti-Christ, not the Antichrist, but an anti-Christ? And if Jesus never existed, if he never actually said the things that he said, if he never did the things that he did, why should he matter to atheists? You know, if he wasn't really real, then why bother with him? Why wouldn't they just ignore him like we ignore the god Molech or Baal or Ra or all those old, you know, all the old Greek gods? We ignore them because they're no big deal. They're just myths, stories made up. So we don't fight to tell the world they're not real, they don't exist. But I mean, if it were possible somehow to erase all the things that Jesus did. I mean, if it were possible to erase the evidence of Jesus, the eyewitness accounts that his disciples give, that the Gospels give us, that Paul gives us, and that if we were able to erase all the evidence in people's hearts and lives that Jesus has changed, you know, if you could somehow wipe that out so you didn't have any evidence for Jesus, and so that you could maybe convince them that he wasn't, you know, that he didn't exist, wouldn't the result make Earth a whole lot worse? I mean, if it were possible to erase all that evidence and people said, okay, maybe he's not real, I won't live that way. If nobody actually lived for Jesus, do you understand how much worse off the world would be? I mean, it would be hell on Earth. It would, if nobody lived by the teachings of Jesus, by the morality that he taught, if nobody lived like Jesus and worked to help other people, and I mean, the way we're commanded to help other people, to spread the gospel, and we do that because Jesus told us to do that. If nobody did that, and you know, if you have any concept of how much the gospel has changed people's lives around the world, if you took that away, imagine how much worse the world would be today. I mean, it's changed so many lives. The world as we know it wouldn't exist. Science, as we know it, wouldn't exist. Art, as we know it. Education, technology. I mean, all these things wouldn't be what they are today because so many of these things were built upon a faith in God. Out of a biblical, you know, they looked at the Bible and they said, God made an ordered universe that we can study. And, you know, we ought to be able to study the things that God created and find the order that God made because that's the kind of God he is. And that's why so many sciences were invented. We wouldn't have them today if it weren't for that. So I wonder, why do people fight so hard to rid the schools, to rid the government, and the society and the world of Jesus Christ? They just want to do their best to cut out Jesus and pretend like he's not real. And I think the only answer that they do that is because he does matter. He does matter. So it's important for them to get him out because the reality of Jesus Christ, it's not just a matter of life and death. It's a matter of eternal life and death. And some people like to think that, you know, Jesus came, or they'll say this, I don't know how many people actually truly believe it in their heart of hearts, that you know, Jesus just came, he did a few miracle type things, you know, whether they're real or not, he impressed people. He shared some teachings that were, you know, pretty good teachings. He put on a good show for the crowds. He offended some of the religious leadership, and some people loved him and some people hated him. So what's the big deal? I mean, who cares? It's just some guy. in history, why does it matter that what some Jew did 2,000 years ago to me today? What's the difference? Well, the facts are the facts. I mean, we've got evidence, we've got history, we've got eyewitness accounts, we've got the Bible, and the facts are incontrovertible. Whether or not you're a believer, whether or not you're a Christian, you follow this, Jesus Christ was the most extraordinary person who ever lived. And you can see it in all the world. You can see it in our society. He's the most amazing person that the world has ever known. Regardless of what anybody thinks about him, I mean, their opinion of him, you just can't deny his influence on the planet. Because everybody knows his name. Everybody in civilized society, regardless of what anybody thinks about him, everybody's heard of him. Even the most cynical atheists on the planet know that they know of him, and you just can't deny what he's done in the world. And you can't deny anything spiritual about, well, you can't deny you have to acknowledge the overwhelming impact that Jesus Christ has made on civilization. There have been more books written about him than any other person who's ever lived. There's been more arguments and controversy about him than any person who's ever lived. There's been more impact on what, because of his teachings, that have changed people's lives and the things that they've done because of that. And it's hard to, I mean, nobody can deny that. That's just an incontrovertible fact that Jesus has made an impact on the world. So, and Jesus has been recognized by people of all walks of life. I mean, all religions and backgrounds and nationalities. He's most of them recognize, almost everybody recognizes Jesus was a man of unmatched wisdom, that he taught amazing things. People know this, and he's influenced the world so deeply that in the short record, I mean, the Bible, really, it was 3 years of ministry, and it's just a small section of 3 years of his ministry. Remember John said if you wrote down all the things that he did, you probably, all the books in the world couldn't contain it? So we've got this relatively short book. I mean, if you think about it, we've got some prophecy and other lessons about God, and then we've got the New Testament. So it's really a tiny, tiny, I mean, not a big volume. So these few short recordings of the 3 years that Jesus was in ministry have made such a huge impact on the world. I mean, it's just that he's done more with that small bit of his life to regenerate mankind, to influence the world for good, than all the other teachers, all the other philosophers, all the other moral leaders who have ever lived combined. Jesus has done more. And the evidence points to that. And in the same way that Christ's impact can't be denied, neither can the controversy be denied. Because people, they either love him or they hate him. That no individual has caused more debate than Jesus Christ. And for someone so well recognized in history, someone who everybody knows, everybody's heard of, there seem to be an awful lot of people who disagree about him. And public opinion about Jesus is basically split down the middle. I mean, there's a lot of people who will say they don't care, but most people who talk about him, there's these two divergent camps. And he's either respected and revered. I mean, even if people don't believe in him, he's usually respected and revered as a good teacher and a good man and a prophet and whatever. And then there's the Christians who know him as the Son of God. So there's that camp. And then there's the other people who despise him, and they denigrate him, and they can't stand him, and they want to disprove him and get him out of society and culture. So why do people feel so strongly about Jesus one way or the other? And why do they love him or hate him? What's all the fuss about? It's not about the morality. I mean, Christ is known as a good man and a good teacher, but it's not about, it can't be his morality, because almost everybody says that Jesus was a good teacher. I mean, even if he wasn't, you know, loved or respected, everybody pretty much will say Jesus was, most people will admit that he was probably the best teacher of all time, at least the most famous teacher of all time, if not the best teacher. And nobody argues with the things that he taught, or how he lived his life. I mean, everybody will say that he lived a good life, he helped people, he did miracles. Everybody respects the kinds of things that Jesus taught. You know, the golden rule. Everybody says it's a, you know, treat others as you want to be treated. So that, and that's what they'll say about Jesus. So that, and most people will respect the things that Jesus stood for. Whether they believe in him or not, they'll they respect Jesus and the concepts of right and wrong that he promoted. You know, people think that's pretty good in general. And so it's not his morality. And then it's, you know, well, maybe it's about his miracles. He's a miracle worker. And some people deny that. But it couldn't really be that either that really caused the controversy. Because, I mean, there are plenty of arguments over whether Jesus' miracles were real or not. Whether he just somehow put on a show that people believed and it was fake, or if it was actually real supernatural events or some sort of amazing illusion or a delusion that everybody had. But that's not what gets the debate really heated. That's not what splits people down the middle, is miracles or not. Well, what about his resurrection? That's a big deal. Paul said if Jesus isn't alive, then we of all men are to be most pitied. So, there's been plenty of attempts to cover up the fact of Jesus' resurrection. There'd be a lot of people that'd like to bury that from the Jewish leaders all the way, the ones who killed Jesus, all the way back from his contemporaries till today. There's a lot of people who, you know, anti-Christian activists who'd like to cover up the resurrection and disprove it and ignore it and block it out. However, from the first century all the way until today, it hasn't been the resurrection that has fueled the controversy. There's been a lot of controversy about it, but I don't think that's what has stoked the fire. The resurrection is a peripheral issue. It's a symptom of the controversy. If you understand what I mean, it's not the cause, and here's why. Because there really would be no controversy if Jesus was simply a moral teacher who was able to pull off some neat tricks and heal some sick people and feed some hungry people and do tricks with the weather, even if he was able to cheat death and somehow, you know, look dead and come back and then just disappear into thin air so nobody really know what happened. If he did those kinds of things, if that was all that Jesus had to list on his resume were some kind of tricks, then it wouldn't be, you know, it wouldn't be that impressive. You know, he'd be mysterious. He might even be famous today, but they wouldn't put him at the center of the world's greatest debate. What really gets the debate hot, what really stirs up the controversy and gets people so either full of anger and bitterness or full of joy and praise is the deity of Jesus. That's what really the debate is about. The fuss is all about whether Jesus is God in the flesh or just another man. A good man, a nice man, a miracle man, a prophet man. But if it weren't for his claim to be the I am of creation and the future judge of every person, if it weren't for that, the world really wouldn't care about the other stuff. And he'd just be another name on a list of really interesting people. And the Sanhedrin certainly wouldn't have killed him if he just said, I'm just a miracle worker, I'm just a prophet. They would have brushed him off with all the other miracle workers and prophets. And so, if you remember Mother Teresa, what she did, you know, she's famous. She was known around the world for dedicating her life to serve the poorest of the poor. I mean, she's in lots of history books, and she lived a life of humble kindness and good teaching, and everybody knew her name because she was such a good person. And when she died, the world mourned for a princess in another country, somebody who had never done anything before to serve the world and never really contributed anything to the world and had everything served to her on a silver platter. The whole world was crying over some princess who had never made a real impact on the planet. And today, how many people's lives are based on the teachings or the leadership of Mother Teresa? I mean, she's still in the history books. People still know who she is. But how many people base their lives on what she did, on what she taught? Not many. And even people like Gandhi. I mean, he did some amazing, people know him, you know, did some amazing things. But how many people base their lives on the teachings of Gandhi? Not many. And any other famous moral teacher or leader basically nobody in comparison to how many people's lives have been changed because of Jesus Christ. Jesus has so shook up the world, not because he was good or did good things or taught the truth or even claimed to know God. How he really got everybody riled up is because he claimed to be God. And he said, I am the light of the world. And if you have seen me, you have seen God. And the icing on the cake, I love it. He said that every person's eternal destiny was dependent on whether or not they believed in him as the one and only Son of God Almighty. You believe in me and you're safe. You don't believe in me and you're not safe. I mean, Jesus was the only one who made that claim. And, well, I'm sure there's been other people who have made the claim, but Jesus was the only one who backed it up with what he did. And that's why people are so stirred up. The only way to find forgiveness of your sins, to find restoration from God, he said, is to go through me. The only way to get to God the Father is to go through me. That's what he said. And those are the kind of amazing claims that have driven people crazy ever since. And it's the kind of life that he lived, the kind of things that he taught, the miracles, the life, the death, the resurrection. It's all those things that make his life, that make his claims of godhood so stirring, so either getting people so angry or getting people so impressed in what Jesus did. Some people are filled when they hear those things that Jesus did and realize the evidence and what his life did. It either stirs up love and devotion in people and praise and worship because they recognize God for who he is, or it stirs up hatred and denial. Because people don't want to hear that. They don't want to admit that their sins are killing them. But with anybody, an honest study of the life of Christ will do nothing but embroil you in the controversy. I mean, you can't study the man Jesus Christ and the reality of his life and the evidence that we have and not get, it's just not possible to look at only at the extraordinary life of Jesus and not see what stirs up the controversy, not see why he's such a loved or hated person. His teachings, his miracles, and his resurrection, all those things that he did are all integrated with his theology, with his godness, with his deity. And so, and tied into all that are his promises. Because he said, this is who I am. And then he proved it with what he did. So that says all the promises that he made are for real. That all the things that he promised to do, all the things that he promised to us, that's real. So all that is tied into whether or not he's really God. I mean, if he's not God, if he wasn't able to prove that, if he's lying about that, then all his promises are garbage. And so all those people who follow him and learn the truth and have the truth set them free and find peace and joy and eternal life can only find it if Jesus is really God. And all of that is based on having faith in his deity, in truly believing that he is the Son of God, not just the intellectual assent that Jesus existed, because a lot of people will say, yeah, Jesus was a real man, he existed, he's a good teacher, but the belief that he is who he says he is the sole solution for the world's problems of sin and death and spiritual emptiness. And pretty much everybody in the civilized world knows who Jesus is and has either taken one side or the other on Jesus. And whether they accept Jesus for who he claims to be or not. Whether Jesus, all those people end up making a decision for better or for worse, whether Jesus was fully human and fully God, or if he was just a good man. And in the end, it's a decision that affects whether we spend eternity in heaven or in hell. And that's why it matters. So if somebody ever asks you, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is because if he's God, it has huge implications on the entire universe, not to mention our individual existence. And And so that's why it matters, and that's why people make such a big deal over Jesus, whether or not they claim to believe in him. That's why people hate Jesus Christ and want to do their best to get rid of him, because if they admit that Jesus is real, they admit that they have sinned against God and they're doomed to hell. And people don't want to admit that. Nobody wants to admit that they're wrong. We don't like, you know, people get caught doing things and we say, no, it wasn't me, I didn't do it. I mean, I've heard so many people have that kind of response to big things and little, and that's what keeps that's what makes people hate Jesus. So the question for you and for me and for every person that we know is, who is Jesus? Not who is Jesus to you, not who do you think Jesus is, but who is Jesus, the reality. So I thought tonight I'd go through a few facts about Jesus from Scripture. And so number one, you know, we've already talked about, is he is God. Jesus is God. Matthew 26, at verse 62, I mean, people like to argue about it and go back and forth and find different scriptures, but all that, just Jesus say it for himself. In Matthew 26, at verse 62, this is when he was arrested and taken to trial before the priests, and then the high priest, at verse 62, says, then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, well, aren't you going to answer these charges? What do you have to say for yourself? But Jesus remained silent. Then the high priest said to him, I demand in the name of the living God, tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God. And Jesus replied, you have said it. And in the future, you will see the Son of Man seated in the place of power at God's right hand and coming on the clouds of heaven. And some people think, well, he didn't really give a straight answer, but he gave a straight answer to those Jewish leaders who knew the scriptures and who knew he was speaking of prophecy of God coming in judgment. And he said, you will see me coming in judgment of you. And he said it extremely clear. And then the priest understood this, because the next verse at 65 says, then the high priest tore his clothing to show his horror and said, blasphemy. Why do we need other witnesses? You have all heard this blasphemy. So they knew exactly what he was talking about. And we can know today that Jesus himself claimed deity, claimed to be God. And at the same time, it gets really interesting, because he's God, but he's also a human man. I mean, it's God in the flesh. He came from heaven and was born from a virgin, and became a human man and lived a human man's life. In John 1:14, it says, so the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. So it says right there that he was flesh and he was deity. And then he's also, he's God, he's human, he's the expert. He is the expert, not an expert. He is the expert on everything. On everything that he taught, and all his words are true. In Mark chapter 1, down at verse 21, it says, Jesus and his companions went to the town of Capernaum, and when the Sabbath day came, he went into the synagogues and he began to teach. And the people were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike the teachers of religious law. And suddenly a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit began shouting, why are you interfering with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One sent from God. And Jesus cut him short. Be quiet. Come out of the man, he ordered. At that, the evil spirit screamed, threw the man into a convulsion, and then came out of him. Amazement gripped the audience, and they began to discuss what had happened. What sort of new teaching is this? They asked excitedly. It has such authority, even evil spirits obey his orders. Jesus is the authority, so much so that he has authority over things that people just don't have authority over. And he's a healer too. He's a teacher and he's a healer. And in Matthew 4, at verse 23, again, Jesus is going around teaching. Matthew 4:23, it says, Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. News about him spread as far as Syria, and people soon began bringing him all who were sick. and whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed or epileptic or paralyzed, he healed them all. So Jesus was a healer, is a healer, and he's also a missionary. He was the example for us as missionaries. In Matthew chapter 9, skip ahead a couple chapters, at verse 9, it says, as Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. Don't you wish that being a missionary was that easy? Hey, you, follow me. And so Matthew got up and followed him. And verse 10 says, later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with such scum? And when Jesus heard this, he said, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. And then he added, now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. That's funny. He's telling the religious leaders, go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices, for I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. So he's a missionary for us to follow. He's also a fiery preacher, better than I could ever hope to be. Jesus preached up a storm. In Matthew 23, if you go ahead to chapter 23, down at verse 27, this is Jesus speaking. He says, again, speaking to the religious leaders, the Pharisees, he says, what sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. Outwardly, you look like righteous people, but inwardly, your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you build tombs for the prophets your ancestors killed, and you decorate the monuments of the godly people your ancestors destroyed. Then you say, if we had lived in those days of our ancestors, we would never have joined them in killing the prophets. But in saying that, you testify against yourselves that you are indeed the descendants of those who murdered the prophets. Go ahead and finish what your ancestors started. Snakes, sons of vipers, how will you escape the judgment of hell? So Jesus didn't hold back. When he came to telling it like it is, he told it like it is. And with all that, with all those things that he did, he's a good example for us. And in Hebrews chapter 4, at verse 14, it says, so then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it the most. So it says Jesus faced all the troubles and the trials and the temptations that we do, but Jesus never sinned. He did it right, so he's our example to follow. That when we face our trials and temptations, we should turn to Jesus for help and do like Jesus did. And then, I guess finally, and most importantly, Jesus is alive. He is alive. And because of that, we can find life in him. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, down at verse 12, says, but tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying that there will be no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless. And if your faith is useless, then all our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you are still guilty of your sins. And in that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So because of that, you can reverse all those things. That means all who have died with their hope in Christ will live. And all who trust in Christ will live. And all who live for Christ will live. So Jesus matters immensely. Ultimately. And whether people accept the truth or not, Jesus will matter to every soul that has ever lived because he is God. And we wouldn't exist if not for Jesus. Nobody would exist if not for Jesus, because he's the creator. And the universe wouldn't exist if it weren't for Jesus, because he's the one that God created everything through. Jesus is the one who did it. And we have our life and our breath because of Jesus. And our eternity depends on Jesus. And that's, everybody knows John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. But I think what might even be more important than how much Jesus matters to our lives is that we matter to Jesus. I mean, Jesus matters. He should matter to us, because he's going to matter to everybody someday when they face judgment. But more importantly is, do we matter to Jesus? And here's my last scripture. Here's about that is Ephesians chapter 3 at verse 14 says, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and earth. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. If we didn't matter to Jesus, he wouldn't have done anything for us. He would have never come to earth. He would have never died on the cross. Jesus matters to me because I matter to Jesus. If it weren't for him, I wouldn't exist. I wouldn't have survived for sure. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. We matter to Jesus, and that should change your life. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much that we do matter to you, that we weren't just little trinkets that you made, decorations just to watch, and that we are important to you, that you created the universe to display for us, that you created so much to bless us with, that you created us to be in your image. Thank you that we do matter to you, and what we does matter to you, and how we live matters to you, and that you're willing to save us when we turn back to you, and that you're willing to teach us how to live like you and how to do the things that you do, and to teach the world about you. Thank you that we can do that because you care about us. God, please help us to understand more and more and more about how much you care about us and how much you love us and how much you're willing to give us. And help us to get that so that we can do even more for you and love even more for you and be good people like you're a good man and a good God. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.